Welcome to Double Portion Inheritance with Maria Merola, brought to you by DoublePortionInheritance.com. Now, Maria Merola.
Good evening, Mishpachah. This is Maria Merola. And tonight I'm going to be talking about, and this is going to be a really funny message when you hear the title, but why don't you preach the gospel instead of bashing Christmas? And, you know, that's kind of like a common little phrase I get from people that are in the church and they're offended because I speak out against Christmas. And so they often say things like, why don't you just focus on preaching the gospel instead of bashing Christmas? Well, I'd like to answer that question tonight, and I'd like to share with you what the true gospel really is. I guess a lot of people in the Christian church don't really have a good grasp on what the gospel is or the good news is. So before I get started, I would like prayer. So everybody just join in with me. Heavenly Father, Yahuwah Elohim, we come before you. We love you, Father. We praise you, Father, and we glorify your holy name. We ask you, Father, pour out your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, on everyone listening tonight. And I pray, Father, that you would bless everyone listening, that you would touch them, that you would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of the fear of Yahuwah Elohim. Amen. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua. Okay, so what is the gospel? Well, you know, the word gospel is a Greek word that simply means good news. But did you know that the good news was actually taught in the Old Testament scriptures? First of all, there really is no such thing as Old Testament. You know that there was a man by the name of Marcion in the second century who was a Gnostic. Gnostics don't believe in the deity of our Messiah. They believe that he was just another reincarnation of all the other false pagan deities. And Marcion taught a heresy that says that, you know, and this is his quote, not mine. He said that the God of the Old Testament is Lucifer, and the God of the Old Testament is, or the God of the New Testament is Jesus, quote unquote. That's Marcion's quote. So he taught that God, that Lucifer and Jesus are one and the same, and that God has an evil side to him, and the evil side of the Creator, Elohim, created everything made out of molecules, matter. And the good side of Elohim was spiritual, and he could not have come in the flesh, because if he had come in the flesh, then he would have been a sinner. So this is really Gnosticism. Well, Marcion is the one who started treating the Old Testament as a separate book from the New Testament. But you see, beloved, prior to Marcion doing this, nobody, none of the first century apostles treated the Old Testament scriptures as old, and they didn't treat the New Testament scriptures as new. You know, it's in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for reproof and instruction in righteousness. So when that scripture was written, the Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy, and he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. What scripture was he referring to? The only scriptures that were in print in those days were the Tanakh. Now, when I say Tanakh, I'm referring to what is commonly called the Old Testament. The Tanakh is an acronym that means Torah, Prophets, and Writings. Okay, now in Luke 24:44, our Messiah, Yahushua, said, all things written about me in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. So he gave us what's called the two or three witnesses. Remember in Matthew 18, he said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. You cannot form a New Testament doctrine without first finding the doctrine in the law, prophets, and writings. You can't use the New Testament writings as a standalone book. All scripture is the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. I'm not saying the New Testament writings is not scripture. They are scripture. But the New Testament is what you would call a commentary on Tanakh or the Old Testament writings. And so there really is no such thing as Old Testament versus New Testament. It's all scripture. So, with that in mind, let's talk about what the gospel is. You know, in Isaiah chapter 40, we have Isaiah the prophet, Yeshayahu, is how you say Isaiah in Hebrew. Yeshayahu says, O Zion that bring good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Yerushalayim, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Yehuda, behold your Elohim. You see that word there, good tidings, is a Hebrew word called Bashar, which is number 1319 in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance. Bashar means to bear news, to bear tidings, to publish, to preach, to gladden with good news, to announce salvation. Okay? And then there's other places where it's just two separate words, good, which is tob in Hebrew, and then the other word is basora, which means the same thing. Reward for good news, tidings, good news, good tidings. So there's two different Hebrew words there for glad tidings. There's the bashar and there's the besora, but they mean the same thing. And we even see in the King James Version the same phrase being used in the New Testament writings, which we call the Brit Hadashah. And in Romans 10:15, the Apostle Shaul says, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You see, the Apostle Shaul was quoting Isaiah. And so the prophet Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, talked about the good news. He preached the good news or the gospel long before the quote-unquote New Testament writings went into print. And in Isaiah 41:27, it says, the first shall say to Zion, behold them, and I will give to Yerushalayim one that bringeth good tidings. Yeshayahu, or Isaiah 52:7, says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Elohim reigns. And then, of course, in Isaiah 61:1, it says, the spirit of Yahuwah Elohim is upon me, because Yahuwah has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Well, let's find out exactly what these glad tidings are. You see, the bad news was that Israel had committed harlotry against our Creator, Yahuwah Elohim. They went after pagan deities. They went after pagan idols. And because of their pagan idols, he wrote them a divorce certificate in Jeremiah 3:8. And he caused them to go into the nations. He sent her away. Like it says in Deuteronomy 24, if a husband takes a wife and he finds some uncleanness in her, he may write her a certificate of divorce, place it into her hand, and send her away. And then she may go and become another man's wife. Well, this is exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. You see, there was a split between the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. And at that time, in 1 Kings chapter 12, after King Solomon died, King Rehoboam took the two southern tribes of Judah, and King Jeroboam took the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and they became two separate nations. Well, the nation of Israel became known as Gentiles. They went out into the nations, and they began to serve their false pagan deities. And then the two southern tribes of Judah remained at home in Jerusalem. They kept the feasts. They kept the Sabbath. And so it was the house of Judah who was left, still in covenant, still keeping the feast days and the Sabbath days. And so when our Messiah came, he said, "I have come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Who was he talking about? He was talking about those 10 lost tribes, those 10 northern tribes that he had divorced. And he was now coming to restore them back to the marriage covenant. And so that's the good news. The good news is that the Messiah has come not to die on the tree so that we could go back under paganism, but he came and died on a tree and shed his blood to cleanse us from paganism. That's the good news. So, those of you who would say, "Oh, why don't you just focus on preaching the gospel instead of debating about Christmas and Easter?" Well, that is the gospel. The gospel is to call us out of paganism. The good news is the Messiah came to call us out of pagan idolatry, to bring us back into a right relationship with him, to bring us back into covenant relationship with him. And we're going to be taking a break here shortly, but when I come back, I'm going to continue explaining what the true gospel is and the logic behind people who say, "Why don't you preach the gospel instead of debating about Christmas and Easter?" That really is faulty logic, and the true gospel is to win the lost sheep back into covenant and to call them. And might have asked those kinds of questions in the past, you might be interested to know that the word gospel is in the Tanakh, or what you would call the Old Testament. It's called glad tidings. It's the Hebrew word bashar. And that Hebrew word means to bear news, good news, to preach, to show forth, and to gladden with good news. And we see many instances in the Old Testament writings where the prophets were actually preaching glad tidings. And it's not just in the New Testament writings. And I will cite 10 in seconds. In 2 Kings 7:9. In Isaiah 40 verse 9, Isaiah 41:27, Isaiah 52:7, those are all places where the glad tidings are mentioned, the bashar or the basura. So you see, the idea of preaching the gospel is not a quote unquote New Testament concept. It always existed. And so when we to share more about what the gospel is, the true gospel, and how Christmas is diametrically opposed to the true gospel, and those who would try to say, "Well, we can use Christmas to preach the gospel," when people say that, they don't realize that what they're actually doing is they're preaching a false gospel. You can't use a lie to win people to the truth.
Hi, Hi, this is Amy Dent Beebe. I'm the web diva for Hebrew Nation Radio and HebrewNation.net, and I'm also a homeschooling mom. A little over a year ago, my family started out on an amazing new journey of faith. My 3 and 5-year-old daughters are being raised in a community of believers who seek to follow the whole Bible, who are being called away from holidays like Christmas, Easter, and Halloween that are steeped in pagan customs, and turning back to the biblically commanded feasts that Yahweh has blessed us with. We worship our Messiah in spirit and truth, and are learning to follow the instructions for living graciously given to us in the Torah. Our hearts rejoice in seeing the completeness of the story as we follow a cycle of celebrations that paint such a clear picture of Yahweh's plan of salvation. My girls will never feel the struggle of having to pull away from the traditions of man as an adult, because they already know the story Yahweh has been telling us from the dawn of creation. The resources at HebrewNationRadio.com and the new online community at HebrewNation.net have been such an important part of this journey. These ministries reach people all around the world, and I ask that you would please consider supporting us with a regular monthly donation or a one-time gift that is tax-deductible if you wish. Go to HebrewNationRadio.com or HebrewNation.net and click on the donate button, or call us at 503-316-1220.
Okay, well, everybody, thanks for waiting. Before we went on break, I was explaining what the meaning in Hebrew for the word gospel or glad tidings is. It's the word bashar, and it was preached by all the prophets in the Tanakh, long before our Messiah came to earth. You see, lots of people write to me, and they, you know, are truly hungry for the truth, and they want to get back to the true Messiah, the true Hebrew Mashiach named Yahushua. But then there are some of those who still want to cling to their false pagan Greco-Roman Jesus, who's embedded in the Babylonian sun god worship festivals. And those people always seem to give me the same old patented responses like, why don't you focus on preaching the gospel instead of debating about Christmas and Easter? You see, when people say these kinds of things, they are merely trying to deflect from the spirit that's behind this message that Yah has given me to preach. And that message is come out of idolatry. When people use these types of responses as a smokescreen, they are really saying something that goes like this. Why not win souls instead of calling the church out of idolatry? Now that sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? You see, over and over again in the Tanakh, or in the Old Testament, we see that Yahuwah was always dealing with Israel, his covenant people. He didn't deal with the unbelievers. Why? Well, because if Israel walked uprightly, and if she would forsake her idols, then the heathen nations who surrounded her would look to her as a light, and then they would repent. But if those in the Christian church are still in idolatry themselves, then they are powerless to win the lost. You see, the Christian church today must see themselves just like Old Covenant Israel. Most of them in the Christian church have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But even though they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and they've accepted the blood atonement of the Messiah, they have not forsaken pagan ways. And so today the Christian church is no different than Old Covenant Israel. You know, the Christian church has not replaced Israel, but they are grafted in together with Israel. In Ephesians 2, the Apostle Shaul explains that those who have been brought near to the covenant by the blood of the Lamb are no longer Gentiles. They are no longer strangers to the covenant, but they are part of the commonwealth of Israel. So if you're a Christian tonight and you are listening to my voice, understand that you are not a Gentile. You have been brought near by the blood of the Lamb, and you are part of the commonwealth of Israel. You are a grafted in branch. And what that means is if you are an Israelite, then you are called out. You are meant to be called out of paganism. You are meant to be called out of the world. And so Yahuwah deals with those in the Christian church today no differently than he did with the nation of Israel in the Tanakh. Yahuwah says that judgment must... Peter 4:17, it says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of Elohim. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Elohim?" So you see, if it begins with those who claim to be in blood covenant with the Messiah first, then the end shall be that those who don't obey the gospel at all will be won over also. You see, our Messiah, Yahushua, came to earth for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then he sent his disciples to reach out to the Gentiles. In other words, we have to first bring back those in the Christian church who are like those lost sheep because they've come under pagan influences. And then, once we win those in the Christian church, then we can win the rest of the heathen world. Otherwise, it's just like the pagans trying to win the pagans. In other words, the proverbial blind leading the blind. If people in the Christian church are still following pagan practices, they are powerless to win the lost. You see, what happened in the days when Israel was in covenant with Yahuwah, in the days when Jeremiah the prophet had a message for them? They became infected with the same pagan religion of Babylon, just like today's Christian church. And so Yahuwah had to pluck them up, break down their idols, break down their images, throw down their false pagan altars. He had to afflict them. He had to destroy every vestige of paganism in their culture before he could allow them to come back to Yerushalayim to rebuild. It does not sound very gentle or loving, does it? But, indeed, Yahuwah's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Listen to what the prophet Yirmiyahu, or Jeremiah, says in chapter 31:28. "And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, says Yahuwah." So you see, Yahuwah has called me to do the same thing today. He's called me to pluck up false religious lies that have infected Christianity and to break down those idolatrous ways of thinking, and then to build new foundations, to build on the true faith of the Messiah Yahushua, not on the false pagan Jesus that the church is worshiping today. In Jeremiah or Yirmiyahu, Chapter 16, verse 19, he says, "O Yahuwah, my strength and my fortress and my refuge, in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto you from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit." You see, many today in the church think that they are worshiping the real Messiah. And I'm not here to say that you aren't worshiping the real Messiah. I know that I was worshiping the real Messiah all those years from 1981 when I was first born again, even though I didn't know his true name, and even though I was still keeping Christmas in ignorance, he was with me the whole time, leading me and guiding me by his Spirit. However, I didn't have the full understanding of who he was. I was still, to some degree, worshiping a false Messiah without realizing it. Now, the Holy Spirit was still with me. He was still guiding me, and he was still leading me. because he saw that I was hungry for truth. He saw that I was sincere and wanted to know him. And because he saw that I was sincerely following after him and following after the truth, then he eventually was faithful to bring me out of paganism and bring me into the truth. So all of you out there who are listening, I'm not saying that those of you in the Christian church aren't following the real Messiah necessarily. That's between you and him, okay? So, you know, I believe that there are many of you out there who are just like I was, that you genuinely have a heart for truth and you want to know him and you want to truly seek after his face and know his heart. And if that's where you're at, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit is working on you and he is guiding you into all truth. And I'm not saying you're following a false Messiah necessarily. That's between you and him. So it's up to the individual to have a heart after him. However, you see, in 2 Corinthians 11:4, the apostle Paul, or Shaul, was warning the Corinthians. He was concerned because he said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, that if any man came here preaching another Messiah, another Yahushua, or another Jesus, according to what some of you know him as Jesus, but if any man comes to you preaching another Yahushua, or another gospel, you might bear with him. In other words, you might listen to him. So this is what the apostle Shaul was concerned about, because the Corinthians still had a lot of pagan vestiges left over from their former ways. And he said, you know, I'm concerned you guys would listen if some man came preaching another Yahushua. And so that's the condition of the Christian church today, that if any man came into your assembly today preaching a false Messiah, that you might believe him. So we have to know how to distinguish the truth between the real Messiah and the false Messiah. And so we cannot save one single soul until we get them back to the real Messiah, Yahushua. We can preach the gospel all day long and then win them to a false pagan Jesus who is embedded in all these false pagan customs and myths, but they won't grow in the faith at all. So the rationale behind saying that we can use paganism to preach the gospel goes something like this. Why not tolerate idolatry and the sin of breaking the first commandment in order to preach the good news that Jesus died so that we don't have to keep the commandments anymore? That's a false gospel, my friends. And that's what I hear so many in the Christian church saying, that we should tolerate idolatry and we should break the first commandment and worship other pagan deities so that we can preach the gospel. And people, that's a false gospel. And so to those of you who would say this, you have to understand that our primary job is to go and preach the gospel, and I couldn't agree with you more. But we have to first find out what the true gospel is so that we can preach the real gospel and not a false gospel. And second of all, we are commanded to preach the gospel to the Jew first. And what that means is, we are not going to win the Jewish people, the Yahudi, over to a false pagan Greco-Roman Messiah. They're never going to go for it. That's why the majority of the Jewish people have rejected the Christian version of the Messiah up until this point. They see the Christians worshiping a Messiah on all these pagan Babylonian sun god worshiping days, and they laugh and think, oh, that's not the real Messiah. See, the Jewish people have been keeping the feasts of Yah for the longest time, and they know that when the true Messiah comes, he's going to uphold the Torah. He's going to be patterned after the feast days, the holy Moedim that our Creator has set forth for us to keep, because they are a shadow picture, a prophetic shadow picture. So how do we know the difference between the true Messiah and the false Messiah? Well, the true Messiah is going to be patterned after the feast days, and the false messiahs were always patterned after the false pagan holidays. That's how we know the difference. So we will never be able to win the Jewish people with a Greco-Roman paganized Jesus. You see, Yahushua told the Samaritan woman at the well, "You don't know what you worship, but we do, for salvation is of the Jews."
Return to the Land by Ephraim Frank. If you have a love for the land of Israel or for the Jewish people, if you feel stirrings within your being to return to the roots of your faith, then this inspiring book is a must read. Return to the Land by Ephraim Frank is on sale now at the Hebrew Nation bookstore at HebrewNationRadio.com or call 503-316-1220 to place an order. Only $11.95 plus postage while the supplies last.
Before I went on break, I was explaining that our Messiah was speaking to the woman at the well in John 4:22, and he said, "You don't know what you worship, but we do, for salvation is of the Yahudi or the Jews." And I have a caller who would like to ask a question, and I'm going to go ahead and take that call right now. Caller, do we have you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Diana.
Hi, Diana. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
That's good.
I saw an advertisement for your show today on Facebook, but I actually have missed everything you've said so far tonight. I just tuned in, so I don't know if this has been covered. This is kind of a... Something that's been on my heart is, yes, we shouldn't be celebrating Christmas and Easter and all those things, but it's kind of... bothers me when people use this particular time of year as like a soapbox to like blast everybody about Christmas. Like, I think we should be teaching people throughout the year.
I agree. And I totally do. I really do. I do teach people throughout the year. But go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
Well, yeah, right. I know. But it's like a lot of people do, like on Facebook, you know, they'll blast a bunch of negative comments and put people down when they're in the midst of celebrating, and it's not the best time to try to change their hearts from doing it, in my opinion.
No, I totally agree with you. I've been saying that all along. Like, I think we should prep people throughout the year so that they don't go out and buy all those. You know, it's like once you've spent all that money on a tree and decorations and gifts, now you're like, oh, now what do I do? I've already invested all this money. I've got friends coming over. I've planned all this food and, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to, you know, and I understand, you know, but here's the other flip side of it, Diane. What if Yahushua, Messiah, comes back tomorrow and we didn't warn people? You know, and we use the excuse like, well, we wanted to wait till Christmas to be over so we don't offend anybody. And it's like, you know, he's not that worried about offending our flesh because our flesh is supposed to get offended. I mean, we're supposed to be offended in the flesh. I mean, he even said that the gospel would offend people because it goes against the flesh, and the flesh doesn't want to die, and we don't want to give up things that we've grown up with and we've become fond of. And sure, it is uncomfortable, and I understand that. But and I think that there are probably some people that do it in the wrong spirit, and they do it more out of pride, like, oh, look at me, I don't do Christmas anymore, I'm better than you are, and that's not a right attitude. But then there's those of us who do it because we truly love you, and we want you to be ready when the bridegroom comes. And you know, the 10 wise virgins or the 5 wise virgins had their oil lamps ready, And the five foolish ones did not have their oil lamps ready. And so we want to prepare you for when the bridegroom comes to, you know, rid yourself of all these things that hinder love. And, you know, these pagan customs hinder us from coming into the fullness of our relationship with him. And so I agree there are people that do it out of a wrong spirit, that they're doing it more out of pride. And but then there's some of us like myself that we're doing out of love, and we want you guys to know the truth. And there's never a bad time of the year to preach the truth. I understand it's inconvenient to be preaching at this time of year, but, you know, I mean, this is like, there's never a bad time to preach the gospel. And this really is the good news. The good news is Yahushua came and died on a tree for us so that we can be called out of paganism, so that we can be called back into covenant with him, and that we can come into. Hope that answers your question, Diana. Is she still there? Okay. can you hear me? I think that we had like a little internet glitch. And, but Diana, thank you so much for calling in. And, your question was very valid, and, or your comment or, you know, your concern was very valid. And I appreciate you taking the time to call in and voice your concern. And, those of us who are preaching this message need to be, preaching this throughout the year. And I totally agree with her. So let me get back to what I was talking about before I took the call. You see, in John 4:22, our Messiah spoke to the woman at the well, and he said, "You don't know what you worship, but we do." He's talking about the tribe of Judah. "We do, for salvation is of the Yahudi," or the Jews. Well, what does he mean by saying that, you know, salvation is of the Jews? Well, you see, he's telling her that if you don't worship him the same way that the tribe of Judah or Yehuda does, by keeping the feasts and the Sabbath days, then you don't even know what you are worshiping. You see, now, of course, Judaism today, modern Judaism, has become a hodgepodge of a lot of mixture from ancient Babylon. So I'm not advocating that we adhere to Judaism per se. But in the days when our Messiah said this to the Samaritan woman, it was only the house of Judah that was continuing to keep the feasts and the Sabbath days. The other tribes had stopped keeping them. And that's why he was singling out the tribe of Judah, because it was the tribe of Judah that was commissioned to bring the Torah, the law. It says in Genesis 49, Jacob, or Jacob, said to his fourth son by Leah, Yehuda or Judah, he said, "The scepter will not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." So all the kings were from the tribe of Judah. All the kings who were ordained to lead the people were from the house of Judah. So he was essentially telling her, it's the house of Judah who's continuing to keep the set apart feasts and the Sabbaths, and the other tribes had stopped doing this. And so we need to get back to the true Yahushua, the true Yahushua, the Messiah, not the false Greco-pagan Messiah that most people have been taught to believe in the Christian church. Now, many of you have been doing this out of ignorance, and the Father knows this. He knows that we've been taught lies, as Jeremiah the prophet had said that this would be one of the markers of the end times, Jeremiah 16:19. That all the Gentiles would come from the ends of the earth, and they shall say, "Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit." That's a marker of the end times, and we're seeing this right now. We're seeing that many Gentiles are waking up and realizing we've been taught lies. And so if we want to preach the true gospel, we must preach first to the Jew. To the Jew first. In Romans 1:16, the Apostle Shaul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of Elohim unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Yahudi, or the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You see, I'm the oldest of four children in my family, and so when I was a child and all of us children were being scolded for being rowdy, my father would always look at me and say, "You are the oldest. You should know better." And so, you see, Elohim in his wisdom has chosen the older son, which is Judah. In the story of the prodigal son, the older son is Judah. The younger son, the prodigal, is Ephraim. And the younger son went afar off. He went off into pagan customs. And so it's the older son who's supposed to set the example. You see, Elohim in his wisdom has chosen the weak things to put down the mighty and the foolish things to confound the wise. He says this in 1 Corinthians 1. And so he uses the Gentiles, or the younger brother, to make the older brother jealous, to make the older brother come back up to the standard that he was chosen for in the first place. And so he has allowed Ephraim, in the story of the prodigal son, to become like the firstborn son, according to Jeremiah 31:9, because he wants the younger son, Ephraim, to provoke the firstborn son, Judah, to jealousy. And why does he do this? Because the firstborn son became complacent. He began to keep the commandments out of habit, but he lost his first love. He was no longer doing it out of love for the father, but out of duty. But when the prodigal son came home, he suddenly desired to obey the father's commandments because of the father's great love and compassion for him. This is what the father wants us to do. He wants the firstborn, he wants the father, wants the firstborn son to become like the younger son, and he wants the younger son to become like the firstborn son. In other words, he wants all of us to be obedient to the commandments, but he wants us to do it out of genuine love for him. This is the wisdom of Elohim. You see, if we attempt to use lies about Christmas and Easter to win people to Messiah, we will later on have to undo those lies, and we will have to teach them that we used lies to win them to the gospel. And we will have to undo those lies later on and tell them, "Hey, we lied to you. Christmas and Easter are not genuine holidays that point to the true Messiah." So we can't start out with a lie hoping to win them to the truth. And it kind of reminds me of what our Messiah said to the Pharisees of his day. In Matthew 23:15, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." You see, in his day, Yahushua's day, the religious leaders were going all over the world to win converts or proselytes, but once they did, they were making them twice the child of hell or Gehenna than they were by teaching them traditions of men. Okay? And this is exactly what's going on right now in Christianity. You have a lot of people going all over the world preaching the gospel, supposedly, and yet a lot of that gospel they're preaching is like a very watered down gospel. It's like saying, you know, come to Jesus, get saved, you know, he's washed your sins away. This part is true. But once these converts are made, they're taught to keep all this pagan stuff. Okay, so this is exactly the rebuke that our Messiah had for the religious leaders of his day. In other words, we can preach a false gospel by using lies such as Christmas and Easter, but then what are we really winning them to? Are we really winning them over to the truth? You see, there's no power to come out of Babylon and the world with this kind of watered-down gospel. We must preach the message of the cross or self-denial. You see, the word for cross in the scriptures means staros. Okay, it means a stake or a pole. It means staros, but it really means self denial. And so we must be willing to die for him. We must be willing to give up everything for him. We must be willing to forsake idols and forsake pagan systems. That's the true gospel that the Apostle Paul was always talking about. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish." What did he mean by preaching the cross? He wasn't talking about an object. He wasn't talking about something you wear around your neck. He was talking about the preaching of self-denial. For the preaching of self-denial is foolishness to them that perish. So when we tell people, come out of Babylon, give up Christ's mass, give up paganism, they don't want to hear it because it goes against the flesh. This means we must preach an uncompromising message of dying to self and the traditions of men. You see, in the past, I used to do a lot of furniture refinishing, and I would find old pieces of furniture in somebody's trash, and I would strip off the old paint, and I would uncover the beauty of the real wood underneath, and once I stripped off the old paint, then I could apply the new finish.
Son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. And join them one to another into one stick.